favorite scary movie. Have you checked the children?
Not quite there yet, but soon!
I'm gonna brace my
Travis Kelce here.
Viva Las Vegas!
Don't you dare! Please! Oh my god!
Viva Las Vegas!
Honestly, it was really refreshing to see Taylor Swift get the ick in real time.
I didn't even know, to be honest, protest so quickly.
To be honest, I didn't even know what the fuck a Travis Kelce was until yesterday.
Really?
And I was like, oh god, oh that's the dude that she's dating. Okay, got
interesting.
It. And dude, wow. I'm just like freaking out about. They just cut to Taylor like every 10 seconds. I'm sick of this. I was like, come on, we've had enough. We get it.
For a 4.5 hour game yesterday, they showed her for less than 30 seconds. They didn't show her every 10 seconds.
No, I feel like it was a lot. I don't watch football, so it was a lot for me.
Neither do you, Webster. No.
How do you know all this?
Because I watched the fucking game.
I did too.
Enough with the Taylor Swift apologists. Let's move on.
No, you got something way cooler than Taylor Swift. How about that?
Well.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Well.
Nah. I'll die on this hill. I don't care. But anyway, enough about Taylor Swift, enough about the Super Bowl. It's time for episode
250.
Let's go ahead and get started.
What the fuck was that noise? All right.
It was an air horn.
Bomb, 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 bomb.
Oh my god. Can I finish a sentence?
No. Not for our anniversary episodes.
That's
you know how
fair.
This goes.
That's fair. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Horrible People's Podcast. I am your host, Alex Webster. With me, as always, is Anthony Fuentes, except for last week.
Yay, not always, but 99% of the time.
He's back, and worse than ever.
I messed up the mic settings one time.
He forgot how to operate a computer. Joining us also as well, Phil Acevedo.
Hello. Oh, I'm shit. Just Phil.
He's just something. And of course, our guest co-host for the month of Trash Month, James Brizuela. Hello.
Howdy.
Boo.
Wonderful.
What an idiot.
I just felt like
booing you. I don't know. I just felt like
Shut up.
That's great.
All right, guys. Let's go ahead without any further ado. Who picked this one? James, you get to introduce what we're talking about today.
We're talking about Psycho Boreman. I mean Psycho Goreman. Woo!
Woo! Hey, James. How about you do us all a favor and frig off, dude?
Frig off!
Not my hunky boys! Okay. Let's go to the IMDb synopsis, shall we?
Yes.
After unearthing a gem that controls an evil monster looking to destroy the universe, a young girl and her brother use it to make him do their bidding. Mm-hmm. It was released on October 7th, 2020, right in the middle of the pandemic, so a lot of us probably didn't see it. Yeah. In theaters and on VOD on January 22nd, 2021. Starring Nita Jose? Hannah?
Josie.
Nice. Okay, that was a good one. Shout out to Dolly Parton. What's up? Anyway, Owen Meyer. Yeah.
Known listener of this podcast.
I was gonna say,
yeah.
Known fan of the podcast, Dolly Parton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she totally is.
Honestly, if she was,
Owen Meyer.
The OG Herb Derb.
Owen Meyer, Matthew Nienaber, Stephen Vlahos. Adam Brooks, and Alexis Hansi. Written and directed by Stephen Kostansky. Budget was $850,000 in Canadian money, which in U.S. money translates to $670,000 because Canada is weird. Box office gross, $137,498.
Not bad, yeah. Considering that it came out in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah. I mean, you know, not bad. I want to say the mean one probably got a lot less than that.
We have the technology to figure that out, but
yeah. I mean, can you pull that up, Jamie?
No.
Alice, there's no time.
there's no time.
Oh gosh.
Oh, are you guys ready to learn about this? This one, huh? The Archduke of Nightmares. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my
god. Yeah. Let's do it, dude.
So, PG, Psycho Gorman, or simply Psycho Gorman. If you're nasty, is a Canadian sci-fi action horror comedy.
Hold on. Back up. I'm gonna need you to deliver that.
Jesus Christ.
With a little bit more oomph, please.
I wrote this script and you were butchering it for me.
I know. It's supposed
I need
to be
a little bit more gusto.
If you're nasty, come on, Flynn, sell it.
If you're nasty,
sell it.
Thank you.
There you go.
God. Pressure me into this slightly delivering a line. It's a Canadian sci-fi action horror comedy that tells the story of siblings, Mimi and Luke, who uncover and excavate a mysterious glowing gem found in their own backyard.
That night,
that's right. That night, an alien monster emerges and finds himself in a shoe factory where he brutally kills a group of no-good hooligans. They were hiding out, and they are no good.
Famous youths.
Mm-hmm. The kids follow a trail and end up at the shoe factory where they are greeted by the alien monster who declares himself as the Archduke of Nightmares. He then explains to the kids that he is a deadly alien warrior from across the galaxy and was imprisoned on Earth for attempting to destroy said galaxy. Now, the creature makes an attempt to kill the kids when he realizes that the little girl, Mimi, is carrying that gem. Now, the kids learn that whoever carries the gem can command the monster as they wish. And, of course, once the monster is under Mimi's command, Mimi and her brother go through a list of names for their new alien warrior pet. Killer pet. They both settle on Psycho Gorman, or PG for short. Wow. Yeah, that's the whole fucking beginning of the movie right there. Anyways, Mimi shows her amusement as she wittingly commands PG around, even though PG absolutely fucking hates it, and he's being, of course, commanded by a little girl. Yeah, I didn't really like Mimi that much.
I don't think anyone does.
Oh, we'll get to her very soon. Yeah, there's a lot to be said about this Mimi. And one of my favorite Letterboxd reviews that I pulled up was really funny.
Oh, kind
of.
Okay.
Absolutely terrible little girl. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, she sucked. Webster, what do you got, dude?
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
We're all talking shit on a little girl. Like, anyways, let's fucking continue the story.
Oh, no. I agree. She's like a budding sociopath. PG, phone home.
Nice.
Very good.
Nice. Yeah, thank you.
Meanwhile, millions of light years away, a group of aliens who go by the Planetary Alliance discover that PG has escaped from his imprisonment. The Planetary Alliance decides to send a warrior named Pandora to Earth to kill our boy PG. And she is crazy. They're all crazy.
kind of hot.
I mean, yeah, hot. She's crazy, you know, like she's hot in kind of like a crazy way, or like in the way that like I feel like a lot of no. I think
like,
in the way
I'm
that
attracted
like
to alien extraterrestrials and
yeah, that's because you watched too much Power Rangers. You watched too much Power Rangers as a child. Hell, I feel
yeah.
Like
yeah,
it's this movie for an hour and a half is basically it. But anyway,
yeah, Phil's just like that Rita Repulsa. Nah,
I was gonna say.
I was more of a Divatox fan. Remember her?
No.
Remember Divatox?
No.
Oh,
no.
Man. Oh, yeah. Never mind.
What was the brain guy? Zord? What was his name?
Zed. Lord Zed.
Zed.
I'll get you again, Power Rangers. That dude.
Yeah, okay. That's the guy.
Hell yeah, dude. Anyway, back on Earth, PG gives Mimi and Luke a backstory on how he ended up on our planet. PG explains to the kids that he was once a slave to the Templars, which is Pandora's religious order, from his home planet of Gygax. This is where PG discovers the gem and witnesses the bond he shared with it. Thanks to the power of the gem, PG formed an army called the Paladins Obsidian.
That is the name of my middle band.
the Paladins Obsidian? That sounds like a D&D, like,
Flourish. Yeah, it does.
Hey! Yeah, dude. Oh, I wanted it to sound.
Whoa, did
cool,
we just like all cut out?
Yeah,
we all cut out. I think
I
got
we all did. Yeah, that was weird.
Okay, cool. We're back.
Are we still good?
All right, let's come back to Phil's metal band. Yeah. Fucking dorky.
Yeah, there we go.
Yes. I wanted it to sound cool, but now they just sound dorky.
Well, I mean, the only reason I know that is because I play so much D&D. I'm like, the Paladin's Obsidian sounds like a D&D thing. So, I mean, really, who's the dorky one here? It's still you, but like, you know.
Yes, of course.
But really, who's the dorky one? I'll answer my own question, but also fuck up.
Anyway, PG declared war on the Templars and began to wreak havoc across the galaxy until the Planetary Alliance learns of this and defeats PG and imprisons him in the dungeon known as Earth. It is absolutely crazy how Psycho Gorman is literally Phil Acevedo.
Dude, I know, man. They got it down to a T. This is like my origin story, and I'm like, hey, how do you guys know about this, man? I've been in prison for thousands of years.
You mean an overbearing, annoying monster that's controlled by a little girl? Yeah. that's definitely Phil Acevedo.
And who questions his love for hunky boys?
Yes, exactly. Yeah? Exactly. Exactly.
What kind of self-drag is this?
It's a self-inflicted zinger. It's a self-inflicted zinger.
Like, how deep can I dig this hole? I tell you what, a whole lot deeper.
No, I am bleeding, making me the victor.
Go for it.
After PG's epic story time, which I will say that flashback was pretty sick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The kids leave for the day, and PG sees this as an opportunity to escape Mimi and escape Earth. PG broadcasts a call for help to the Paladin's Obsidian.
Mm-hmm.
Phil?
Yes. Oh, yes. And let me read out this title that I wrote here. In my Ice Cube voice.
Okay, let's go. I gotta hear this.
Let's do this one. This is great.
3, 2, 1. Fuck the police coming straight from the underground. A young Archduke of Nightmares got it bad because he's brown.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.
Sure.
There we go.
Could have been worse.
Keep the energy, Phil. Got it. All right. Anyways, back at Mimi and Luke's house, Mimi introduces PG to her mom and dad. This is where we're introduced to the parents and this dad, that holy guy, we'll talk more about later on.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Mimi demonstrates to her parents how she can make PG do whatever the hell she wants. And it is here where Mimi forces PG to be a part of the family and partake in activities like rocking out to their montage, simply known as I'm the Heckin' Best.
That fucking song
was stuck in my head for like at least an hour after watching that movie.
Yeah.
But anyways, PG goes on shopping sprees with Mimi and her family, plays the drums, eats ice cream, walks the dogs, and plays sports with Mimi and her friends. PG is just a big, softy hunk of Archduke Nightmare softiness. But there's even a brilliant scene where PG is enjoying his ice cream and some punk little brat shouts out from across the street, "Hey, asshole! Nice Halloween costume!" PG simply turns and blows the little jag off to bits, making his blood and guts spew all over the street. Not gonna lie, guys, that was probably my favorite scene. It was pretty fucking rad.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was pretty cool. And he just goes back to his ice cream like nothing happened.
Hell yeah.
Later, PG and the kids are enjoying some quality time, and when it gets interrupted by two police officers.
Oh my gosh.
They attack PG, but PG turns one of the cops into a melted, deformed slave. And the dude looked like the toxic waste guy from RoboCop meets Tarman from Return of the Living Dead. And do you remember that toxic scene in RoboCop?
Oh, absolutely.
Help me! It kind of looked like that. Yep. The other cop, fortunately for the other cop, he escapes with his life and he flees back to the police station. Like a little bitch. But anyways, back at the station, Pandora, who is disguised as a human woman, arrives and interrogates the cop who escaped from PG. Fwen, can you stop moving the fucking cursor? Please. Jesus, it's like Christ,
the little light reflection in his eye.
I see you too, James. Stop it. Stop it, James. James is messing with the script over here. And here comes Webster. Keep it going, Webster. Keep it going, dude. James just wrote, "I'm Ron Burgundy?" God. I hate my friends. Anyways.
Happy episode 250, guys. Yes.
After 250 episodes, we still just fuck with Phil as vigilantly as we have always. It's great.
God, I spent 3 hours on this script. Now
yeah. Wow, three whole hours. Whole
3 hours. Oh, my gosh.
Anyways. Back at the woods. Not crudes. Crudes. Back at the woods. Because James is over here sabotaging my script. Doing some self-inflicting fucking typos over here. Back at the woods. The Paladins Obsidian arrive to aid PG. And this is where PG orders them to kill Mimi so that he is freed from her command. However, things take... Twin, goddammit. However, things take a turn as the Paladins Obsidian reveal that they have formed an alliance with the Templars. Dun, dun, dun. The Paladins Obsidian attack and take down our boy PG. Mimi, on the other hand, has the power to make PG fight back, but refuses until PG apologizes for trying to have her killed. PG gives in and apologizes to Mimi. Mimi accepts the apology and grants PG the power to fight back against the Paladin's Obsidian. And this is where PG unleashes a fucking onslaught of pain onto the Paladin's Obsidian. Mimi and Luke watch as the Paladin's Obsidian feel the wrath of the Archduke of Nightmares. PG punches, kicks, decapitates, and even delivers curses to members of the Paladin's Obsidian. He even devours the last one standing by completely fucking gobbling him up. It's pretty nasty, but pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah, honestly, that was pretty cool because like he just unhinges his jaw like a fucking, like, it's dope.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably like my favorite effect. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys see Smile? Came out last
year? Yes.
No, you told me not
no,
to.
No, I have not.
Remember the very end when Demon Jaws, like, completely, it kind of reminded me of that.
It's very similar. It's very thick. Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, frig off!
Frig off! Frig off!
Speaking of Fwen returning, frig off, Fwen. Okay.
Oh, frig off!
Let's freak off.
I said freak.
So, after completely annihilating the Paladin's Obsidian, PG is injured and collapses to the ground. Back at home, we find the kid's lazy and just overall useless dad, Greg, watching TV like a fucking asshole. PG finds a way to appear in the living room with a giant floating head. He demands Greg to get off the couch and collect him and the children from the woods. Actually, I think he's on the toilet when that happens.
He is on the toilet when that happens.
There you go. He's on the crappers. So,
which is somehow, it's way worse.
Yeah, it's worse. Greg does so, and the group drive back home, where they find Pandora waiting for them with the kid's mom, Susan. Susan and Luke suggest that they hand over PG to Pandora, but Mimi and Greg disagree and drive off with PG to the shoe factory. Later, Pandora formulates a plan to take down PG and reveals her true form. To make things worse for the Archduke of Nightmares, Pandora transforms Susan into an armored warrior. Basically, Susan now looks like something out of VR Troopers or Power Rangers. Yup.
Yup.
Oh, yeah.
All Power Rangers. I don't remember that one. VR Troopers?
No. Like, I have a vague memory of it, but I'm not 100% sure.
We are VR. Virtual reality.
Oh, yes.
Freak okay. Out.
The song I remember. Yeah.
Hey, that song fucks, dude. Good.
Does it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess so. So, PG explains to Mimi that the only way he can heal from his wounds is for her to give him back the gem. Mimi agrees to this on the promise that PG spares her and her family for when PG continues his journey to destroy the galaxy. Luke manages to steal the gem from Mimi and PG. He goes on a tangent about how the gem has corrupted Mimi. Just when Pandora is about to kill PG, he challenges her to a battle of Mimi's choosing. Of course, Mimi goes with a round of crazy ball.
Stupid.
Ultimately, Mimi and her team win the round of crazy ball. Stupid. But Pandora decides to kill PG and Mimi anyway. Susan redeems herself as she saves Mimi from Pandora, but goes back to her human form thanks to Pandora. Luke decides to stop being a little bitch and reconciles with Mimi as they give the gem back to PG. PG is now fully healed and completely obliterates Pandora. He returns the powerless gem back to Mimi and declares that after witnessing the family's love and affection for one another, what? He is now powered by love. What? Makes total sense. What were those?
I know. That part, I was like, the fuck?
Yeah, okay. Really though.
The family that like all out, like clearly hate each other?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So PG states that he will use his love to destroy the galaxy, but promises to spare the family. Mimi, Luke, and the parents bid PG a farewell and watch as he ascends to destroy their town. The local news shows PG in giant form destroying the Earth. The movie ends somewhere in deep space as the Planetary Alliance have a debate about killing themselves before PG can reach okay. them. By the I way, the brain guy raising his hand slowly killed me. He's like, okay, he wants to kill himself first. It's all.
That's pretty funny. That's
pretty good, yeah. Oh, that's funny. All right, well,
Flynn, take us more into. I didn't find a whole lot of production stuff here, but I did find a really interesting article about inspirations and where the fuck the director got the idea from for this and shit. So go ahead.
I mean, that's the interesting stuff. So yeah, E.T. the Megalomaniac. Yeah, during an interview with Canadian student-run newspaper The Queen's Journal, director Stephen Kostanski. Stated that
Kostanski.
Okay. He stated that the idea for Psycho Gorman came to him as he pondered with the idea of what would E.T. have been like if instead of a friendly alien, he was a violent megalomaniac. That is a good concept. Now, when asked about the look for PG, Kostanski stated, quote, "He's very much an encapsulation of every kind of monster I liked as a kid. My design intention was create something that would make a cool toy that 10-year-old Steve would see on the shelf at Walmart and want to buy." Okay, end quote. That's mm-hmm. kind of can see. He looks a little Ivan Uzi sometimes. So, yeah. He kind of had like a Ivan Ooze kind of
Ivan vibe. Ooze, yeah.
Ivan Ooze meets like who I was gonna say something, dude. Some fuck, dude. Ivan Ooze and God damn it, what's the fucking guy from? Have you guys seen The Guyver with Mark Hamill?
No,
The Guyver.
The guy. No, you showed me this. Oh, that's right.
Oh,
the fucking,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I
okay, that's a very that. Obscure reference, Phil. No one's gonna get that.
Oh no! Somebody in Letterboxd did, and I put. It
oh, okay. Hey. All right, there you go, fucking there. Nerds. Anyway, yep. So when talking about the visual style and use of practical effects, Kostanski name dropped films like The Evil Dead and Army of Darkness as major references for, of course, Psycho Gorman. So yeah, I guess, but. When I was making this, I took the mythology of it all very seriously, he says. As goofy as it all is, I love this kind of science fiction fantasy universe. I knew that it wouldn't be believable if I didn't believe it as I was making it.
And that is how Scientology was born.
The director, writer, editor, like, not only did he write, direct, edit, produce, and, like, do the special effects for this movie, he also is the writer and director of The Void.
Oh, is it the same guy?
Yeah, it's the same guy.
Oh, shit. Which, this is a significantly different take.
I mean, I can see the through line, though, like, just, like, in terms of, like, the admiration for, like, practical effects, but, yeah.
Yeah, I can definitely see. It's just funny that other movie is significantly darker than
and
this.
Better?
Yeah, that too. listen to our episode on The Void for more on that one from, like, a couple years back.
Yeah, huh? that was a minute.
We've been doing this show for a long time. Anyways, 250, baby! All right, so when it came to its initial release, Psycho Gorman was set to premiere at the South by Southwest Film Festival in March of 2020.
Ooh, bad
timing.
Boy.
Yeah, but that was canceled due to the COVID lockdowns, which we all experienced also in March 2020 for my birthday. Hey! But
fucking missed Bill Burr.
I know, we missed Bill Burr. We had Bill Burr tickets. It was fucking horrible.
Damn.
Yeah. It's okay. Only Webster showed up. I invited you assholes. You stayed home. Anyways, not bitter 4 years later.
Sir?
It was screened later that year as part of Beyond Fest on October 7th, 2020. Ooh, my brother's birthday. Hey. Anyways, Psycho Gorman found a home as the distribution rights were acquired by RLJE Films and the boys at Shudder. Hell yes.
Were you guys able to stream this on Shudder?
Didn't look further. I actually bought it on YouTube because I Googled it. And Shudder does not come up when you Google something.
Yeah,
so I was a little pissed.
Yeah. I don't even know if it's like streaming on Shudder anymore because I tried to watch it.
It used to. It kept coming. I watched it successfully
on Shudder.
Curious.
Oh. Maybe you're trying to watch it the same time as Phil, and Phil was hogging up the fucking login.
Probably.
Wow.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Sorry.
I mean, he didn't write the episode, so I guess he should have just...
Leave him alone.
All right. Let's get into the reception, shall we? I'm very excited for what reviews one Phil Acevedo has picked out. So, Psycho Gorman was making waves in Canada and America as it galactically crusaded its way into theaters and streaming services. But how do the people feel about the Archduke of Nightmares? Over on Rotten Tomatoes, Psycho Gorman devours its approval rating of 92% on the tomato meter and a 64% audience score. The website's consensus reads, quote, over the top and enthusiastically strange, PG Psycho Gorman delivers all the cheesy midnight movie goodness promised by its title, unquote. What were you saying, James?
He's lost for words.
Yeah, just
James is on the audience score section right there. He's on.
Yeah, I'm even less than that. Like, this is how you know Rotten Tomatoes is fucking bullshit because it's got a 92%.
Yep.
What?
Yep.
Anyway, go on with the board, Phil.
Before I get madder.
I'm angry.
Friend of the podcast, Owen Gleiberman. Gleiberman.
Gleiberman!
Says, quote, as satire, Psycho Gorman is no Planet Terror, but it's a droll enough schlocking quotation marks diversion, and part of its appeal is just how damn cheap it is. In the Omnitech era, it's fun to see a filmmaker build an FX fantasy out of scraps from the ground up. Unquote.
I love how he always talks shit on Gleiberman, and then the one time everybody's like against like the movie, he loves it.
I know. Owen Gleiberman needs to like be shoved into a locker.
I was just gonna say, shut up, Gleiberman.
We literally do that every time. We're like. Fucking Gleiberman!
Fucking Gleiberman.
God.
Meanwhile, Richard Whitaker of the Austin Chronicle gave PG a 3 out of 5 stars, stating that, quote, it channels Saturday mornings loaded with Power Rangers reruns just with the added realization that the creatures were super cool. Unquote. James. All right, let's mosey on to Letterboxd, where Psycho Gorman has a 3.4 star rating out of 36,000 ratings.
Boo.
Let's see what the good people of Letterboxd have to say about our boy PG. Joe Lynch, 3.5 stars, says, quote, if I was 11 years old, this hard R kids flick would be my favorite movie of all time. That's a compliment. Hard R?
Really?
Hard R?
What that?
Not a good enough reason to say hard R.
Yeah, no.
Has everything going on with the movie?
Yeah, I thought that was interesting too.
Griffin with 3.5 stars says, quote, Mimi, not really for Mimi, but Psycho Gorman can sit right on this hunky boy's face.
Nice.
Wow. See, that's a hard R.
Wait. I just found Griffin's last name is Acevedo? Weird.
Weird.
Yep. Fucking small world, dude.
Coincidence?
Oh, that's so funny. Matt
Lynch,
for a second, I fucking believed you. I was like, I was about to jump on Letterboxd.
Oh, my God.
I was like, he's saying that I wrote this.
Yeah.
Yes. Welcome to the podcast, Phil. It's nice to have
I'm
you.
I'm losing energy. I'm waking up. Here we go.
Stay with us. Matt Lynch with 2.5 stars says, quote, Monster Squad plus Power Rangers with lovely practical creature and gore effects, but the service of something almost as diabolically unfunny and self-satisfied as Comedy Central era Futurama, although it might have worked better at a lean 22 minutes. And the kids are annoying, precocious, and not uncomfortable, precocious, unquote.
Yeah,
yeah, it's pretty accurate.
Lieberman. Lieberman.
Yeah, this is
found his old fucking account right there.
It's his burner account.
It's his burner account. Cinema Void with 3.5 stars says, quote, a fun movie and an opportune reminder that I have to review my subscription to Hunky Boys magazine, unquote. It was a reminder for us all.
So do I, Cinema Void. So do I.
Interesting.
Let us sit on that one. Let us sit silence for a little bit. There you go. Okay, Phil.
In an insult to Billy and Mandy, Rylan with 3.5 stars says, quote, live action Billy and Mandy.
Oof.
An insult. I love Billy and Mandy. Me Oof. Too.
And this was an insult right here. And I was like, fuck you, Rylan. I'm going to throw it on the
desk. I disagree. Zay with 4.5 stars says, quote, this movie was made for nerdy, somewhat childish adult cornballs like myself! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point.
Oh, God.
Blood, period. Guts, period. Extremely annoying kids who are still somewhat likable. Okay. Period. Solid monster origin story, period. Top-notch stop-motion animation.
Stop. Top-notch practical effects. Stop.
No.
Top-notch gore effects. Stop.
Telegram sent over here.
Exactly.
Top-notch gore effects. All of the creatures gave me strong 90s Power Ranger / VR troopers / Beetleborgs vibes.
Yeah.
Nostalgic as fuck, man. Period. Like a low-budget trauma meets live-action anime meets Marvel meets R-rated Goosebumps meets MacGyver meets after-school special aimed...
Just Guyver.
Oh, sorry. Meets Guyver. Meets after school special aimed at 13 to 18 year olds. Maybe just watch it, damn it. That was a breath.
Yeah, all the fucking Telegram shit, and then he ends it with a run-on sentence.
Oh, my God.
You're working for IMDb? Yeah. You're working for IMDb.
That's how I text. I'm not going to lie to you guys.
Hey, oh, we know. Stop. We know. What? Stop. Are you doing? Stop. Tonight. Stop.
Okay, I'm not that bad, but I do, like, I definitely do the notable, like, punctuation, like, the stop. Mm-hmm. Stop. And finally, James Brazuela with unknown stars saying, quote, I do not care for hunky boys. Or do I?
Wow.
Oh, that's good.
I definitely don't. Shut up. What an idiot.
What an idiot.
What an idiot.
What an idiot.
Oh, man. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. Well, guys, ladies, germs. And Fuen, we made it. We made it all the way down to discussion time. And I'm very excited, as you can tell from my voice, to talk about this incredible piece of cinema known as P.G. Psychogorman. What are your overall thoughts of this movie? Let's go with James, since you are killing it in Letterboxd. Let's hear your thoughts for Psychogorman, dude. What do you think?
Yeah, expand on your Letterboxd review, please.
I don't care for hunky boys, and I care even less for this movie.
Under hunky boys.
Yeah, I'd rather go with hunky. I'd rather go with hunky boys over Psychogorman. I watched it once, which is why I wanted to cover it on Trash Month like a year ago, whenever the hell it was that I brought it up.
Yeah.
And I didn't remember it because that's how much I didn't like it the first time.
I thought
time.
It was like a couple years ago because I do think
it was a couple years ago. It was a while ago.
It was like during the pandemic that you were just like, I watched this and we have to cover it. And we were just like, no.
Yeah. And I don't remember. I didn't remember it. So I rewatched it, and I was like, good Lord, no wonder why I wanted to cover this on Trash Run. I just don't like this movie. I thought it was really stupid. And it's borderline Thanksgiving 3 for me.
Whoa. Or,
damn.
That's...
Whoa. It really is. The squabbling parents, random, like, C story, and the kids, like, dude, there's just so many unlikable elements in this movie. That, dude, it bothers me on so many levels. Like, really, really don't like this movie. I really don't.
Yeah. I remember
when that's why I stopped.
Yeah. I remember when this movie
stop,
came out.
Hate, stop, it, this, stop, movie, stop.
Oh, and Jesus. Dot, Phil, dot. And,
yeah. Especially Phil, here. Stop.
Stop. Oh, dude, when this movie came out, everybody was, like, hyping it up. And right,
that's why we watched
like,
it, too.
Yeah, and it's usually, like, these dorky, like, nerdy dudes who are just like, oh, my God, bro, you gotta see P.G. Sacagawea. And I finally saw it, and I'm just like, this is what you guys are losing your shit about? Like, okay,
yeah.
Cool, dude.
I mean, I do get the comparison to Troma, because Troma movies are very much like this, but Troma movies are still, absolutely. Like, they have a storyline, like, this. Yeah, they are. They really
like,
are.
I feel like Troma movies have like a charm to them that like
yes,
this movie
they do.
Doesn't absolutely. Have.
No, no. Mm-hmm. Like no, the kids, no. Like God, I was like, oh, just kill the kids already.
Yep. Webster. Thoughts?
Yes. I watched this with other DMs of Turning Tables podcast, Danny and Ruben, and they loved it. And like when I watched it, I think I was kind of like lost in the sauce, so to speak, when we watched it, because I was like, okay, this is fun. Like this is like it's silly, like it's dumb, and I don't know if I'd watch it again. But then I had to watch it again for this podcast, and I did not like it this much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I think I appreciate trying to make like. Little children characters like more like versatile. Mimi was fucking annoying as shit. Which was unfortunate because like I liked the concept, right? But like for some reason her dialogue was all just like overacted and just like it's like I've heard kids who talk like this and I just want to like
punch them.
I was gonna say punt them, but yes. but yeah, like I don't know. I wanted to like this more because I was called by Danny and Ruben to defend the movie, and unfortunately, I have nothing to defend.
Yeah, they were very upset that this was added to Trash Month, and they're like, it's a good movie or whatever the hell they said. And I remember I was like, no, dude, this is not a good movie. Even like back when I watched it, and they're rewatching it again, I'm like, oh yeah, now I know why I put this up. Trash Month. It's fucking terrible.
Yeah. Oh, let me get my barf bag real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's Thanksgiving 3 bad. It's just not entertaining bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. There's not a lot of redeeming qualities in this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, just like how the Letterboxd dude said, like if I was a little kid, if I was a preteen, I'm pretty sure I would love this movie.
Sure.
Right.
You know,
right.
But especially if this movie came out in the early 2000s, like, I don't know, as being it's, like, I don't know, man, this movie just...
Did anyone watch the time. Dead Meat episode on this movie?
No, I was gonna, but then I got busy, and I was like, eh.
I'll story of your life. Anyway. Yeah. No, I watched it, but he brought up a really good point about, like, this movie is supposed to take place in, like, the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And it just, and like, I was just like, there's no reason for it to be taking place in the 90s other than like, it's just like, oh no, this is the 90s. Like, I don't know. It just like unnecessarily stuffed with stuff.
Yeah, well, that's what I was just going to say with the whole review from Zay and how he rattled off all of those things. I'm like, yeah, just because those things exist doesn't mean you need to jam-pack them all into one fucking movie, because then it's just a mess. There's just a bunch of random shit happening like at all times. And I'm like, dude, no.
No.
I think there was another thing, too. This movie makes me think of, like, movies like Monster Squad and that one movie with the kid who makes friends with a monster that kind of looks like PG. I forgot the name of it. It came out in the 90s. Like, it's just like, it's just a convoluted IPs rolled into one. Like, It's pretty wild. That's a good
way of putting it, yeah.
Yeah, Fwenster, let's hear you, dude.
I didn't hate it as much as you guys, but I'm going to be honest here. I think it's like, you look up and, oh, something fun's happening, and then you're like, yeah, fucking, the movie keeps going. Like, it just keeps going sometimes. Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah.
Like, I loved him taking out, like, the other fucking people that were, that they he summoned, whatever, right? When she gave him permission to defend himself and little things. But, yeah, I think there's something about the kid actors that really just brings down the movie, like, a lot.
Yeah.
Like, again, like Webster said, like, I know kids like that, and that's, you know, realistic, but I want to watch them on TV or, like, in media.
I don't want to watch them in I don't even want
to be around them in real life.
Right.
Like, you know? So putting them front and center is not helpful to the movie, despite how accurate it may be. And, yeah, it's definitely a hodgepodge. I mean, that's not to say it's completely bad. I think there's some, a lot of fun stuff here again. But it's when it gets, like, dark, right? That's when it's good. It reminds me of, like, movies where you're waiting for the human characters to not be on screen so you can enjoy all the weird shit that's, like, blowing up on screen, creatures or anything like that. It feels almost like the format for, like, a Transformers movie. You're like, okay, shut up. You guys are talking. Get to the explosions, please. And then, yeah, it's kind of like that. It's more clever, I think, than any of those movies. There are fun parts. There are just so few and far between. Psycho Gorman's fun.
I just don't think, you know, I've just been listening to you for the last, like, 2 minutes, and all I caught was you insulting Transformers, and all I gotta say is, I fucking dare you, dude.
Frig off,
dude. Sorry,
Fwen,
continue.
It's okay. Only the first one was good. But yeah, to me, like, you know, the gore effects were interesting. Again, there's like gimmicks that make it good. Like him calling a noble warrior and then eating them was funny. And yeah, it's good that they didn't overdo that. But like more shit like that and less like children, you know.
And being less fucking weird. Children.
Less children. They're really that like horrible. Bad motivations. The parents sucked. Both parents were not entertaining. The humans really sucked. Yeah.
They did.
Turning that kid into the big brain, and then I was like, all right, dude, come on.
I kind of like that. I actually enjoyed that.
Really? Yeah. I didn't like that.
Yeah.
No, the kid?
No.
I like the kid at the end when he was at the dinner table with the family.
I just felt bad for him. Like, he didn't want to be a part of this.
I thought that was kind of funny, though. I don't know why.
He didn't ask to be a part of this shit show.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know why. Like, that was a little... That's the dark shit that I like, though. Like, oh, they fucking... they need more stuff like that.
I mean, yeah. I mean, but, like, I get it. Like, fuck them kids. But also, like, I was just like, that's like a fate worse than death. Like...
God, that's what made it funny. See, I don't know. Like, I like when it pushed in that direction, but not when it would, like... have the kids, like, have revelations about their family and shit. That's kind of dumb.
I mean, yeah, that's boring. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a little whatever. But yeah, you know, overall, eh. Eh. Thanksgiving 3 bad.
I am, like, a combination of the two, or all three of you here. Like, I'm not gonna lie, there were some parts in the movie where I'm like, this is cool. I like this. The montage of him going shopping... And he's dressed in a cowboy outfit, you know, in different fitting rooms at department stores and stuff like that. Him blowing up the kid and then going back to his ice cream, I thought that was pretty cool. There were some cool things apart. Like, you know, when he unleashes and he goes fucking berserk mode on the fucking Paladin's Obsidian. Like, there were some cool things about this. But, I mean, it's funny because I think we are kind of like the demographic in a way. And I think a lot of us here are rejecting it, but a lot of us are also kind of like a mixed bag on this. And I can just tell that, like, James really fucking loved this movie a lot because you can hear the heavy breathing coming from him already.
Totally.
So it's you know.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, like, this movie was cool. It was fun. I'm never going to see this again. I just, I am conflicted when people are telling me, like, this movie was fucking awesome. And then, like, at the time when I did used to, like, look at Rotten Tomatoes scores for movies, like, I would look at it back in, like, 2021, 2022, and I was like, this shit is at a 94? And then I see the audience score, and I'm like, okay, this should be interesting then. And then doing research for this movie, I was like, oh, okay, I see what's going on here. Like, seeing the interview with the director, I get it. I get what kind of movie he's getting or he's trying to make. But I don't know, execution wise, I was just like, ah, this is all right. This is whatever. This is honestly, all right. Yeah, it's okay. This is all right. Yeah, whatever.
But yeah, you didn't like it as much as James, I get it, but you know, at least
I know.
Nobody liked it as much as I did.
James liked it so much he blew out his back standing up to applaud for it.
Jesus exactly. Christ, I was like, what a great movie. Ah, my back.
I need to watch all the credits though before you take the
hospital. We have reached peak cinema. Anyways, awesome. Guys, question. I got some questions for you guys.
Okay.
Real quick. So I can see it. All right. See it.
Director Stephen Kostansky, whatever, dude, has Jack Stefan has thrown hints for a sequel. Oh. What would you like to see in this sequel?
Not one.
A completely different movie?
Yeah.
Truthfully, I like PG as a character, I wouldn't be opposed to revisiting him. I just want nothing to do with everyone else.
I was thinking the same thing. If we can have it set in like a different planet, like make it cool. Like you don't have to have humans in it.
Like a different planet, a different time. Mm-hmm. Like that would be cool. Like I don't know.
That would be pretty cool. I actually like the maybe Back to the Future kind of ripoff kind of thing.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's ripping off everything else. Might as well fucking rip off Back to the Future.
And I would love if they completely like just discarded the kids right away. He's like, oh, they're not even cast, and the question comes, he's like, oh yeah, I got rid of that family a long time ago. Like just a total throwaway fucking line to continue the rest of the story would be nice.
Dude, what if he landed in a completely different part of like our country or whatever? In a different time, and it's like he lands in like The Patriot with Mel Gibson, you know? And
oh my god.
Like, the British dude goes like, did he die? That stupid little boy? And then PG's like, I'm right here. And he just starts decapitating people, including Mel Gibson and shit.
Oh my god. Michael Gorman is responsible for like the creation of the United States of America.
Pre-colonial era. Great.
This is like not the right era, but I am picturing Psycho Goreman with like a little pilgrim hat.
Oh, Victorian. Yeah. Oh, the first Thanksgiving with Psycho Goreman. That's right.
There you go. Uh-huh. There you go.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. I love it. Or just anyways.
Psycho Goreman in the Django storyline.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God, dude.
Psycho Goreman cool, frees though. The slaves, dude.
Yeah, there you go. I'd be down to see that
I'd be kind of down with that, yeah.
That's anything besides modern era, yeah. Set it in a different time. Set it in the fucking future for all I care. Like 300 years from now.
Yeah.
Whatever. Oh my god.
Anyways.
Versus Stallone's Judge Dredd, please. Let's just have it both.
Oh, wow. God.
Wesley Snipes. He teams up with Wesley summons Snipes. Him? Oh my god.
Demolition dude. Man or what?
Demolition Man.
Demolition Gorman?
Oh my god.
Demolition Gorman. Oh, that's a good one. Oh my god, that's good. I like that. We figured it out. Okay.
All right. Quick question. Another question for you guys right here. What does your day-to-day look like when you have PG under your command?
Okay.
Where would you take your personal Archduke of Nightmares?
I'm going to answer for Flynn because I know what his answer is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
PG is going to personally go after every person who's a dick to him in traffic.
Oh my god, that's a great idea. I didn't think about that.
I just
even
know
if
this,
they're not dicks, if I'm just mad at them.
I know, like because that. You have the worst road rage out of anyone I've ever met.
That's what Sarah was saying, too.
Out of that anyone I've ever met.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, that wouldn't be good for Los Angeles if I did that. But I would get to work a lot quicker, so I'm kind of with that.
Yeah,
that's nice. Okay. Yeah. Very cool. I'm going to go with Webster's answer right there. I was going to try to think a little more on that, but I think that fits.
Yeah, I think it also fits. It was my
just
first
any
spot.
Lines in general or just people that mildly inconvenience me, but I would like to get to places quick.
James, how about you? You got one?
Yeah, I would take PG with me to kill Stephen Kostansky so this movie never got made. That's what I would do. And then I would find two annoying kids and have them kill them and be like, that's what you get.
No.
And then, no, okay.
We can hate the movie as much as we want, but still, someone put their time, energy, and money into making it.
Oh, you just want the void to still exist. That's it.
Shut up. Shut up.
I don't agree with that. Never. Never.
I would love if that happened and Psycho Gorman has like the Back to the Future thing where his hand starts disappearing in a picture.
Yeah. He's like, wait.
We're tying it back into the Back to the Future thing.
Yeah. It's like, oh, man, you don't like so this, good. But your kids are going to love it.
You guys weren't ready for it, but your kids are going to love it.
Actually,
no, PG,
actually, I have a better one. I have a much better one. I would take PG to Danny and Ruben and make him turn them both into brain monsters for praising this stupid movie. That's what I would do.
They would embrace it. They would fucking embrace it.
Congratulations, guys. You're brain monsters now.
Yep. See how much you like the movie now.
Yeah. Does it entertain you now?
Are you not entertained?
Now you're not entertained.
Oh, that's good.
I guess I could come up with. I didn't think of one myself, but I guess I could just take him to a Taylor Swift concert and let him do his thing. No, I'm joking. Kidding.
Oh, God. How about Chiefs game instead? How about that?
There you go. There, that too. I think I would just like take him hiking with me and then like, you know, or I don't know, man, like, he can take a boat ride with me and he can kill every shark in sight. That'd be cool. You know, cause fuck sharks. Yeah.
I think you would take him to the gym and then after doing five reps, you would make him say that you have the biggest arms in the gym over and over again.
Yes. He wouldn't even need the gym for that. He would just make him do it.
That's beautiful. Yeah. That's beautiful. I love that. Thank you, James.
But come on. Every time Phil wakes up, he's like, good morning, PG. He's like, good morning, Mr. Big Arms. Like,
I love that. That's good.
Good morning, Mr. Big Arms.
Oh, God. Now I'm thinking coming to America.
Happy birthday, sir. It is my birthday.
Yes, it is my birthday.
Oh, to God. Be loved.
To be loved. To be loved. To be loved.
Okay.
He, like... He like brings me in Savannah like McDonald's, not McDonald's, but McDonald's. You know,
you got the Big Mick.
Yep. Oh man, that's good stuff. Great answers, everybody. You love it. Good stuff. I got one more one. We're gonna play a fun game here.
Ooh.
Okay. Hey.
How are we doing on time here?
We're good.
All right. Cool.
2:50, baby. All the time in the world. Let's fucking go.
Beautiful. All right. I'm getting tired, though. All right, Phil, don't forget your notes for this one. You forgot, didn't you? You fucking... No! Hey, Phil, fuck you. I did not forget my notes. Bullshit, because I wasn't with the hooker today.
He's like, damn it, Ben again. Ha ha, bullshit.
Oh, man.
Bro, all right, real quick, back to the Super Bowl. That was probably my favorite commercial, dude.
It was really good. Matt Damon was the best.
Oh, yeah.
The Matt Damon, J-Lo. Dude, Savannah was like, that is some shit you would totally do. Like, you would just burst into with like at my work with your fucking bros. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, that's some shit I would do, yeah. Oh, that's so funny. Anyways, we're going to play a quick game. It should be this. I need you guys to unlock, to expand your creative juices flowing. I need those juices flowing right now, guys. All right. And So I'm gonna throw you some questions here. Okay, here we go. PG Psycho Gorman plays with themes like "What if ET was a violent megalomaniac?" Right, as mentioned earlier. I am going to give you a movie, and you replace the main character or main characters with our boy PG. Ooh. Now I'm going to give you the title of your film and you pitch us the plot of this Psycho Gorman movie.
Okay. Oh, I like it. Okay.
You guys get it? You guys get it?
That's a good one.
You good? Okay. Are you guys ready?
No.
Yep.
Here we go.
No.
The name of this game is called...
It's like, too bad.
I know. I don't even know what the fuck this thing is called. It's called You've Been Gormand. How about that?
Nice.
You've got Gorman.
Here we go. You've got Gorman. Here we go. James, we're going to start with you first. Are you ready?
Let's go. Yep.
I'm going to give you the title of this movie,
Okay.
And you pitch me, I don't know, 3-4 sentences? Yeah. Okay. A paragraph maybe? Of what this movie's about, okay? A quick synopsis. All right? And and if folks and the other two and myself, if you know, if you guys come up with any cool ideas, you're more than welcome to tune in. But let's hear James's take on this.
You mean chime in?
Sure. James, you ready?
You mean Gourmand in? Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Here's the name of your movie. Mm-hmm. In 3, 2, 1. The Shawshank Damnation.
Oh my god.
What is this movie about?
Okay, really quick. Does anybody remember the little boy's name?
Luke?
Luke, thank you. You know what's funny is we forgot it, and so did Psycho Gorman the entire movie, which I thought was the funniest. Which I thought was the funniest gag in the whole movie. And he's like Mimi and boy.
That was pretty funny.
That made me laugh every single time. Anyway, the Shawshank Damnation. Okay, here we go.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Luke, after experiencing Psycho Gorman, turns into a ravenous killer. And is now sent to prison, where he awaits his cellmate, Psycho Gorman.
Oh my
god. Psycho Gorman and Luke go on a journey of friendship, brotherly love, and try to escape both of their fates.
I thought you were going to say, like, and not brotherly love.
The Shawshank Damnation, coming to a theater near you.
That's a good long line right there. Okay. All right.
All right. That's nice. All right. I like that. Very good, James. Very good. All right, cool. All right. Webster,
are you ready? Oh, no. Okay.
Oh, no. Title.
Here's the title for your movie. Okay?
In
3, 2, 1. Scream for Hunky Boys.
Ooh, okay.
What is this movie about?
What is this movie about? First Instinct porno.
Oh God. It's a reimagining porno Scream?
It's a reimagining Scream porno.
Yes. Yes.
Oh my gosh. I don't know where this is going. Okay. Let's...
Oh God.
With Psycho Gorman as...
You just went straight to porno and I ain't thinking about it.
I know.
It was... How could I not with a title like that? Let's see... Oh,
obviously, it's Scream, right?
Right. Yeah. So, no, I would. So I mean,
he can play Sydney.
No. Ghostface. He's gonna play Randy.
So is the killer killing hunky boys, and you have to find out why?
Or he is the killer of hunky boys in the case of it him being like Billy Loomis or Stu.
He replaces Skeet Ulrich halfway Billy, through without Billy, anybody realizing.
Yeah.
Billy Gormanis? Okay, I'll leave.
Right. Yeah, see yourself out on that one.
Okay, bye.
What do you got, Webster?
That was it.
Okay.
No, right. I foresee... a Psycho Gorman being replacing... Billy Loomis, mainly because you get most of the homoerotic subtext from Stu in the movie. So I feel like together it would make a good weird Scream porno. There you go.
Very nice.
Yeah, Scream porno.
He could have snuck into like Sydney's window and be like, I was watching The Exorcist and it made me think.
Yes.
Watch your favorite scary movie.
Precisely.
Or what about this? Hear me out.
I'll be back.
Oh god.
I'll be right back.
No, what about this?
You don't know the rules.
Corn syrup. How about this? Wait, this is actually blood.
I'm feeling kind of woozy, man.
Oh god. So, did you really call the police on us? My mom and dad are gonna be so mad.
I like how I said he's gonna be Billy, and you guys all use Stu lines.
I got one for you, Webster. I got one for you right here, Webster.
All
right. What if our boy Psycho Gorman replaces Casey Becker? He's got a blonde wig. He's got fucking boots. He's got jeans. He's beautiful. On the phone, and he's talking to Ghostface on the phone. He's like, "Do you like scary movies? Which one's your favorite?" So it's like, Halloween, the one with the big scary mask and stalks babysitters. And then, like, when the snakes starts picking up, he's all like, He's like, it's like, oh, I'm gonna call my boyfriend. He'll beat the shit out of you. He's big and he plays football.
I knew you were gonna do that.
Dude, he gets gutted within the first 10 minutes of the movie. Like, and the rest is like just scream.
Beautiful. And they keep him on the screen poster though for sure too.
Oh,
the
they got it. Is
Drew Barrymore.
Yes, they have exactly. to.
Yeah,
that All was right. beautiful. Thanks, Phil. I like that.
Yeah, very.
I'm
well.
Down.
Very well.
I'll watch that.
Quinn Serino.
Yeah,
Quinster. What we got? Pitch us this movie. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
This is the title of your movie in 3, 2, 1. Rush Hour Obsidian.
Oh,
Ooh.
God.
Wow.
What is this movie about?
Oh, my God. Okay, so it's going to start off like regular Rush Hour, though, right? Except Jackie Chan does get killed by Jun Tao. And Consul Han needs a new protector. And it's fucking Psycho Gorman. And the Americans can't figure out what to do with this guy. So obviously they get Chris Tucker on this G-14 classified case. And it's just really him doing all the same. He's like done with killing. He's trying to not kill people, but he keeps accidentally killing people. He's like, I don't want trouble. Like little things like that. And it's also Psycho Gorman still trying to understand black culture because he's only been around white people this whole time.
Oh my God.
Are you saying that there aren't black people in space?
No, just with the family he was in earlier. Are there black people in space?
Wow. Jesus
Christ.
And we're canceled.
Wow.
Just imagine
you on that one, Webster, for bringing
that up. Yeah, I know, we're breaking it up. Imagine the scene when he was. he does drop the N-bomb, remember?
No!
I know. Like,
what's up?
In the pool hall.
What's up?
Yeah. Oh, God. Exactly.
He's all what killing with the fucking say? Pool cube. Yeah.
Wipe yourself off. You're bleeding.
Dude, no. What if he just replaces Jackie Chan in the entire movie, and the FBI's all like, he's already on his way, Carter. You go ahead and pick him up at the airport. And, like, he shows up. He's getting dropped off. He's got suitcases. He's got that same suit that he wears. And then later when he starts speaking English, he's like, not being able to talk is a way I let people talk. That's how I know how full of shit they really are.
I was going to say he's supposed to replace Chris Tucker, but try to act like Chris Tucker, but as Psycho Gorman.
Oh, my God.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Don't nobody know his name.
All the money is coming out from the ceiling. Goes, thank you, God.
No, he'd be like, thank you, me.
yeah, there you go.
And then when he's trying to flash the badge, though, go back to the Jackie Chan version of him. He's like, this doesn't look like me. I'm 7'11".
I'm 7'11". Oh, my God, dude. In the sequel, he what if he replaces fucking Don Cheadle? He's like,
oh, my God.
I'm going to whip your ass. Whip your ass. Oh, or no, dude, what if it's Rush Hour Obsidian Part 2, he replaces fucking Jeremy Piven. Crockskin, buttercream, what size is the waist? Let's check in. Okay, let's go in. Some people think it's snacky, but I love it.
I like that.
Oh, little Kim, I'll be right back.
Oh my God.
All right, we're having way too much fun with this.
You
know,
you did this for you. You didn't do it for me.
Yes.
Honestly, though, any character. How about every character in Rush Hour replaces Psycho Gorman? How about that?
Oh my
That'd be
God.
Great.
Oh my God, that's good stuff. All right, that was fun.
Some apple.
That was a good one. Some apple. I put that knife away, bitch, before you have an accident.
Like I had something special, but you're one crazy bitch.
Oh my God, dude. Oh man. I didn't really think of one. I didn't really think of one for me.
I thought of one now for I'm you. Just,
oh,
who has one?
Give it to me.
Your movie is The Gorminator.
Oh my god. Let's go.
Plot twist. Dude, no, Psycho Gorman is actually John Carter.
Oh,
oh
You mean Connor?
I was going to say Sarah Connor.
Sarah Connor.
He said Carter. Carter. My name is Lee, goddammit.
I was still in the rush hour thing, all right?
Still in the rush hour. Lee. Carter.
Lee. Carter.
Lee.
Carter. Lee.
Carter. Oh, dude. Okay, you know, the Gorminator. The Gorminator. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's go, Phil.
All right. The part where he's in the apartment and the apartment guy is like, hey, what do you got? A dead cat in there? And the computer's telling him to say, fuck you, asshole. He goes, fuck you, asshole. Or he can just simply just say, Sarah Connor. And the girl's like, yes. Breaks out the door, fucking shoots her down.
I can see a frick like, you, asshole. Or frick you, butthead, or whatever.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Frick you, butthead. Oh, beautiful. I love it. I love it. In the sequel, he could just say, hasta la vista, baby. Like, dude, this shit writes itself. Yes. It's good.
Yeah. Oh, love it. Absolutely. Or he could be the T-1000. Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Or yeah. Sarah Connor, dude. That'd be funny.
I was thinking Sarah Connor to like
are you saying that I'm the mother of the future?
Yeah.
Okay, that was good. I like that.
Hold on.
I have a scene with Kyle Reese.
I have one more for Phil.
Ooh.
Okay.
But you can only pick one character to be Psycho Gorman in this, okay?
Oh, God.
All right.
You gotta paint us Goodfellas, but the Psycho Gorman version of Goodfellas.
Jesus. Oh, God.
Okay,
how about this? Funny like I'm a clown, like I amuse you? What? Whoa, Anthony, he's a big boy. He can handle himself. Funny how? Like, what the fuck is so fucking funny about me?
Okay, let's do it, though, but let's replace it with this character. Rossi, Janet Rossi.
Super. You have a whore living in this building.
You have a whore living in this building. Get your own goddamn man.
What do you think? You're some big shot like Frankie Valli or something?
Do you love her?
Do you?
Oh, they would have never found it. They were everywhere.
What about the bag? The bag with all the money. Oh, no.
You want to see helicopters?
Oh, my God. Oh, no. Right here. Now go home and get your fucking shine box. Keep him here. What, you think you're strong? Come on. It's fucking Psycho Gorman as Billy Bats.
Yes.
Oh my god, dude.
In the very beginning of the movie, they open the trunk and you find Billy Bats.
He's like, no,
Tubby, no, Tubby, Tubby. No, Tubby, no. He's fucking so alive. He's like, fucking so alive. No, Tubby, no. Fucker's still alive. Oh, dude, this shit turned out to be a way better time.
Yeah, that was
good. Oh, God. Oh, anyways, guys.
Now,
all
right. Now it's going to turn my back.
One more. Oh my god, dude. Denzel in Training Day.
Hold on. Well, I got one more for good. Okay. Whoa, you broke your cherry.
Yeah, dude, I knew it.
Polly?
Yeah.
Oh my god, dude. All right, let's get it out of our system. All right. I should have never. So, all right. Let's try to get past with this.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Are you energized now, Phil?
That was fun. Yes, I am. That was fun. All right. Whew. All right. That was fun. All right, guys. I'm glad you guys participated in this really well. I love it. Finally, one more question. Back to business here. Okay. Lion face. Ooh, lemon face. Ooh.
Ooh. Right. Lion face. Ah, lemon face. Ooh.
Anyways, finally, let's rate Psycho Gorman out of 5 issues of Hunky Boys magazines. James, what do you got?
I'm going to give this a 1 out of 5 crazy balls.
Damn.
I did like the eating thing, which it looked cool as hell. But other than that, there was like four or five moments that I actually enjoyed throughout this entire hour and a half. So yeah, I get to one because it's a crap movie.
Damn. Noted. Fwen, what do you got, dude?
It's down the middle for me. It's 2.5. I've only seen it once. Mm-hmm. It could get worse. I don't think it's going to get better. that's my assessment. That's fine. It's a movie. It will entertain, but you could also play a game or be on your phone and dick around all the time. I think you'll be okay. Go. So yeah. There you go. 2.5.
Love it. Webster, what you got, dude?
I'm going to give it a solid 2 out of 5. Children cursed to be brains.
Beautiful. Nice.
There you go. Yes.
Yeah. It's not a 1, or it's not even like a 1.5 for me necessarily. I would say it's a 2. Like I didn't like I didn't love it, but I didn't like absolutely hate it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I was gonna make my rating. Sorry, real quick. I was gonna make my rating relative to the last episode, but I didn't want to do that, but maybe I just will right now just because we're having so much fun. Yeah. So, my new rating for Psycho Goreman is 1 out of 5 predatory lesbians. Let's go.
Oh, do you know how many texts I got about that?
Oh my God.
That was a great bit, by the way. I love that.
Do you know how many texts I got about
Oh I've been thinking God, about dude. It since then, and it makes me laugh almost daily.
I got so many texts that just said predatory lesbian.
Oh, my God. I am so sorry, Webster. I honestly felt like you were about to say that when you're like, it took me back to my days when I was, I'm like, oh, predatory lesbian? I was like, are you about to say this? And then you said something completely different. I was like, oh, thank God. And then it just like, yeah. Timing was kind of great.
That
was good.
But
that was only, and that was the second most amount of text she's gotten about being a predatory lesbian since the college day, right? So it's good to relive it.
Oh, yes. It's not good.
The joke continues. Yes.
Yeah. 250, baby. We're gonna be riding this one for the next 100 episodes. Let's do it.
If predatory lesbian Alex Webster become like literally that can't being 9/11 girl and predatory lesbian that can't be my legacy and just can't.
This joke is on tour.
Webster, awesome. I think we have a new Instagram bio for you.
Absolutely not.
9/11 girl. Period. Predatory lesbian.
Stop.
God damn it, dude. Oh my God, dude.
I would like to be able to be considered employable for the foreseeable future.
Oh my God.
Anyway, sorry, Phil, your rating?
Yeah, Phil.
I'm the same as Webster. I am also a predatory lesbian. But I'm done.
Sir, this is a Wendy's. Sir.
No. I also have a 2 out of 5 because I didn't hate the movie, but I really did not love it. And a part of me wants to say that I had a good time with it, but then like I was zoning out and I was falling asleep because I was getting bored for a minute. And I was just like, all right, this is, I get it. I get what they're trying to do. It's fine. It's just not working for me, I guess.
Which again, and, totally blows because this should be like totally geared at our demographic.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, this sounds like a whole bunch of stoners wrote this and they're having a good time. And I hope that's what happened. You know, but maybe I need to be high and watch this. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to say go watch The Void instead.
For sure.
Yeah.
That'll fuck you up. So, yeah, it'll be different.
Yeah. Yes, it's body horror to, like, body horror nth degree.
Nice. Fucking A. That's cool. Anyway, so I'm glad we had a good time with this one. The movie may not have been our favorite thing, but I was trying to make it as fun as possible, so
that's appreciate it. Happy this. Episode 250, guys.
Yay, we did
absolutely.
It!
That's freaking nuts.
I know!
Happened during Trash Month of all places. My God.
If there isn't anything more emblematic of the podcast, that's it right there.
That's poetry right there, baby.
All right, guys, let's go ahead and call it here. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us this week. That was Psycho Goreman from 2020. If you like what you heard, please make sure you are subscribed wherever you get your podcasts. We are back on our weekly schedule. Thank you for bearing with us through our little winter break there. And next week, James is writing the episode on something that just recently entered public domain, so I'm very excited to watch it. I think it's going to suck, but I'm excited
to watch it. Oh, yeah, for sure. I think it's going to be better than this one. That's all I'm saying.
Ooh.
Nice.
Dem's, that's my hot take.
Dem's fighting words. Please make sure you are up to date with us and our shenanigans. You can find the podcast on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORRORBLE People's Podcast. You can find Anthony on Instagram at Hyrulean Hustler. And you can find me on Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop. You can also find Phil on YouTube right now at Phil Acevedo. He is taking a quasi, I don't know, however long, however permanent it needs to be, Instagram hiatus. So he's mostly on YouTube right now. James, plug your shit. Where can people find you? What are you up to? You're doing cool shit.
Sure. Yeah, I'm watching Psycho Goreman. That's cool, I guess. You can find me on the Horrible People's Network as a co-host of the NPC Gaming Podcast with Anthony Fuentes here. You can find us on Instagram at npc.gaming.pod. We talk about gaming news. We talk a lot of shit on Microsoft, and we predict things that keep happening. So go give us a
listen. They keep happening all the time. It's insane.
We are the Simpsons of the gaming world, if you will.
Just say enough shit and eventually something sticks.
Exactly. You can also find me as one of the players on a live D&D campaign on Turning Tables Podcast, which Alex Webster is the DM of.
Ooh, yeah. Hi. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I also do that.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I think.
I'm doing other stuff too. I also have a solo podcast finally called the Retired Mosher Podcast, where it's just me talking about my life. I have two episodes out right now. I'm hoping to have the third one out very soon. I hurt my back, as we've been joking about in this episode, so it kind of delayed me a little bit, but the third episode will be out fairly soon. So you can follow me on Instagram at Retired Mosher Pod. Please go give it a listen. The first episode is very personal, kind of heavy, but I got a lot of positive feedback on it. So go listen to that one. The second one's a little bit more fun. And yeah, thanks.
Awesome. I think that's it. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next week. And in the meantime, Crazy Ball! Bye.
Crocs and buttercream, Crocs and buttercream.
Bye.